Okay, we're on page Kuf Chaf Ches. Kuf Chaf Ches, Simen Chaf, Halacha Zayin. Le'achar she'goymer hashdech tzibur atfilo yomer b'lacha she'yihiyu l'rotzoin. So here he says, say quietly, we had this discussion before so many times, when the Shliach Tzibur concludes the Chazor Sashatz, he's supposed to say, yihiyu l'rotzoin yomer yihiyu l'fanach Hashem tzirim golif. He's saying tachnun, you have no problem, there's no excuse not to. If you're not saying tachnun, unfortunately, we live in a world.
If he's saying Tachman,
no one is paying attention to what the Shliach Tzibur is doing. So the Shliach Tzibur can very confidently and quietly and without any problem can say Yihiyu L'Ratzoin Imreifi V'Hegel L'Lifnach Hashem Tzuri V'Gali. The Shliach Tzibur Meikar Hadin is supposed to say those words after he finishes the Chazaras Hashatz Hamivareich. Es amo Yisrael ba shalom. And then he's supposed to say, Hashem, please accept my prayer. Prayer is sandwiched between two prayers. A prayer, before we begin, we pray that we should succeed in prayer. And when we finish praying, we pray that Hashem should accept our prayer. So these two things must be said by the Shliach Tzibur. Hashem sefosai tiftach before he prays, and yihiyu l'ratzon. There's no problem saying Hashem sefosai tiftach. No one knows what the Shliach Tzibur is doing when before he begins the Shemoneh Esrei. And when he finishes the Shemoneh Esrei, so if the Olam is busy falling tachnun, he has no difficulty in quietly saying yihiyu l'ratzon. I've mentioned this many times. The problem is, on a day when you don't say tachnun, everyone is on edge. Everyone has, there's some nervousness. And they're right away waiting to chap the Shliach Tzibur. Nu, Yiskadal. And they don't give the Shliach Tzibur the chance to say they think the Shliach Tzibur is an ignoramus. And he doesn't know that today this alternate side is suspended and there's no tachnun. They don't know that. He doesn't know that. So they right away start screaming, nu, Kaddish. But that's not right. You're supposed to give the Shliach Tzibur the chance to say Yihiyu L'Ratzon Imrei Fi. I did see somewhere, I don't know where I saw that, it's not Ma'akev, and there are other opinions that the Shliach Tzibur does not.
You should
say it.
Because you're about
the Shliach Tzibur, you're supposed to say it. What? Yeah, but what happens when you don't say Tachnon?
By the way, there's
if
you don't say
Tachnun,
you don't say
Never says Tachnun. Okay, so that's not so simple. There's no excuse not to say Tachnun by Mincha, especially if you daven early. If you daven late, if you daven Nusach Sefard, and you daven Mincha with Shkia, then Yeish Almi Lismoich not to say Tachnun by Mincha.
They daven in time and don't say
tachlis.
Yes.
And early, that's what I'm saying. You daven nusach svart and you daven an early mincha gedola. As I'm saying, there's no excuse not to say tachlis. There's no. The only excuse you can get away with, if you go to, even that's not right. But if you go to a shul where they daven late, they daven with shkia.
They miss shkia. Yeah, no.
Even if they daven with shkia, they daven right before the sun sets. They daven at the very end of the day. And the davening nusach svart, and you're davening mincha at the very end of the day, and they don't want to say tachnun, it's wrong. They should say tachnun. There's no, but if they choose not to say tachnun, you can find poskim that will say it's not so terrible. You have an excuse not to say tachnun. But if you're davening an early mincha at 1:45 or 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, there's no excuse in the world to skip tachnun. There's no excuse. This year, it was in the news. This is big news. I don't know. I think it was either Ger or Vizhnitz, one of the big major Hasidus in Eretz Yisrael, the Rebbe, the top of the line, the chief, the head of the clan, that came out with a macha, and he told his Hasidim, no excuses anymore. If you daven an early mincha, it was a big thing. It was a big news. This is the breaking news. Narrative shows top of the first item of news. If you're davening an early mincha, 1:45 mincha gedola, you got to say tachnun. No more games.
Let's say I know the shul. They daven mincha 10 minutes before shkia.
You can be lenient.
Why?
Because at the end of the day, the reason is. The reason is that that saying Tachnun Al Pi Kabbalah, we don't know what this means, and Ashkenazim, it's meaningless to us because we're not on a madrega that we have any understanding of it, is that when a person falls Tachnun, it's Sakonas Nefashis. You're basically telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I give up my life for you. I give up my life for you. I fall on my head, I'm willing to die. So Al Tiftach Pe L'Satan. Don't get so carried away. You know, it's not so simple for you to fall on your face and say to Hashem, I want to give up my life. Maybe he'll take it. So during the day, you don't have to worry, because during the day it's a time of rachamim. It's a time of mercy. The sun is out. It's a tkufa of rachamim. So you don't have to worry that Hashem will take you seriously. He's not going to take you away. You'll be okay. It's a very dramatic, meaningful prayer. But at night, when the sun is about to set, and certainly if it has already set, but even if it has not already set, it's getting close, it's on the way down, it's a tekufa of din, of harshness, of strict judgment. And if a person falls tachnun at that time of the day, you're putting your life in your own hands. You're really doing something very dangerous. So don't do it. You don't have to do it.
Many groups or what, there's just a desire finding ways to avoid tachnun.
Just like men. Most women don't understand this because they don't come to shul most of the time. Just like men have no understanding of child pain, childbirth, when the tsar chelileda, a woman has no understanding the simcha a man has when he doesn't have to say tachnun.
Don't you
go to shul on a Monday or Thursday, a regular Monday, and you're expecting to say tachnun, right? Chazer hashatz, right? And they give a clap. There's a chosan here, or there's some event. No tachlin, yiskada. There's no simcha in the world.
That was last week, when we show us above on a Monday.
But you know in advance. It's more of a simcha when you're not expecting it. You're not expecting it.
Every so often someone will ask me, why no tachlin? I just say, house rules.
House rules.
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
I guess it's only a question. No one would ask the same question as Lando, where they also don't say.
Why not? Why don't they say Tachmi? They never say Tachmi, right?
First minutes of the Institute.
Oh, yeah? Oh. So you see what happened?
Listen.
Yeah. Just the last couple of years, they instituted
the first minion. You see what he says? Now in Landau, they instituted the first minion has to say Tachnun.
Then afterwards, that's 1:30. That's 1:40.
About the 2:00.
No, that's it. That's already with the heter. That's already falling down the heter. At the end of the day, you don't have to say Tachnun.
Some individuals.
They close it down. It was condemned. Condemned by the Charedim. Okay. Just don't go to the first minion. You're safe.
Yeah.
Just go to the second minion. Okay, let's go further. Okay, so we got into this discussion because you're supposed to say, but you should be aware, you have to train your oilam that the Shliach Tzibur is supposed to say, Yihiyu L'Rotzon. Mr. Nussbaum, how have you been? We have not seen you in a long time. Oh, Baruch Haba. Good to see you back. Okay, let's go further.
I just came in the middle of this, so I didn't hear what you said. But a lot of the places where I davened over there didn't say tachanun. Some of them didn't say tachanun for shachar either.
What about the Yulorotzon by the?
I rarely hear it except around here. Sometimes some people say,
okay, very
good. The last.
Okay. Let's go further. We have to go further. We have to cover some ground. Let's go further. Next. This is very interesting halach. It brings out an understanding of what davening is all about. Why doesn't the Shliach Tzibur take 3 steps back when he finishes the Chazor Sashatz? So you'll ask the average person, will say to you, oh, Tircha de Tzibur, we're not going to wait for this guy to take us 3 steps back. We're in a rush. That's not the reason. The reason is because the Shemona Esrei, believe it or not, this is very interesting, is not really over until you say Kaddish Tiskabel. What is Kaddish Tiskabel? Kaddish goes, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept Tiskabel, or some say Tiskabal, Tiskabel, Tzlo Sehon, Uva Usehon, the whole base Yisrael. May you, Hashem, accept the prayer, our prayer, and the prayer of Klal Yisrael. Those words are extremely powerful words. that are critical to the entire surah of prayer. And the davening is not over until the Shliach Tzibur says those words. So to some degree, even though the Shliach Tzibur finished saying Shemoneh Esrei and he's now free to loosen his feet, he's allowed to sit down for Tachmi, he can walk around, he can keep his separate seat for Asher Hol Tzion, he's still in a certain degree Oymed Lefnei HaNelech. He's Oymed, he's standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not yet really finished with the Shemoneh Esrei, the Amidah, until he says those words. And right after he says those words, he says, Yehi Shalom Rabba, and Oyseh Shalom Bim Ramav, and that is when he takes the 3 steps back for the Amidah. Yeah.
In some shuls, they split the davening.
Yeah.
After Tachnun, Chotzi Kaddish.
So then you have to say that it's a joint effort. It's a joint. You have to then say that the Shliach Tzibur is a joint
no,
effort.
The first Shliach Tzibur have to then step back because he's not going to say
no. No, you don't. It's not done. You don't. You don't see it done. Maybe I never heard of this. I don't know any. I know very little. I know less than nothing. But it appears that the Shliach Tzibur it's representing the Tzibur. It's not a din on the Yochid. The Tzibur has someone saying the Shemoneh Esrei, and then there's someone that finishes it off and picks the steps, does the Kaddish, the Skavl, and goes backwards. So no, it's not a problem.
So it's like a partnership?
Partnership, yeah. It's a joint venture. It's a partnership. It's a partnership between the two people who are going to serve as the Shliach. Each one does part of the job. But it's not one private Shemoneh Esrei, so you don't have to do it. That's what appears. Maybe there's another opinion that says that if you're stepping away, you'll probably find, you can find the Makar of anything almost. So maybe you'll find such that since someone's going to take over for you, that itself is questionable if someone is really allowed to take over for you. That's only a very weak accommodation we do to make everyone happy. There shouldn't be fist fights about davening for the omelet. It's not an ideal thing to do, to break up the so you do it because you want to accommodate many people to daven. Everyone should. You have multiple avelim, so you want to accommodate them. Look, there are definitely places they'll never do this. Okay, in yeshivas they'll never do this. They'll never break up. They'll never break up the Shliach Tzibur from after. Only
that they have the same person
coming
day after day.
Different opinions. Let's go further. So Avol Lavsogim Usiyos Enosach Shemech Alapsiyos Shemesef Akadish Shalom. Next Ches Betaynis Tzibur. The Yesh Besak Neses Asar Shemes. There are 10 people that are fasting. Umashlimim and are going to are planning. It's not just that they're fasting. They're planning to make it out to the end of the fast. It's a very important halacha. We have 10 people that are fasting, but someone puts his hand up. I'm breaking my fast after mincha. Doctor's orders. Or my wife's orders. My wife is my doctor. She's machmer. So I am going to break my fast. Then the Shliach Tzibur is a separate bracha. He does not say, he says during Shachris. My people get very confused. Anenu is said by the Tzibur only during, by the Tzibur, the individuals who daven the private Shemoneh, only at Mincha, in the middle of Shema Koleinu. It's not said by Shachris at all. And it's not said, but the Shliach Tzibur says it by Shachris and by Mincha, and does not say it during Shemei Atfilah, but says it as a separate Baracha. You always have to remember that, not to get confused. So the Shliach Tzibur, he makes a special Baruch before Refa'enu. Why before Refa'enu? Because it fits into the theme of Re'enu Ve'onyenu. Okay, those two brachas are similar in concept. See our affliction. When you're fasting, you are afflicting yourself. So the bracha of Anenu fits perfectly into the theme, and that's why it follows Re'ena. V'im tov lo yamaro. Let's say the Shliach, this happens. I told you this happened on Tisha B'Av, by Mincha, in front of a very big crowd. No one caught the Shliach Tzibur. He just went into the next bracha and no one called him. If he is called before he finishes the bracha of Rifa, he will baruch ato Hashem. If he's called before he says Hashem's name, then he goes back and he begins the bracha. He says the whole bracha, baruch ato Hashem, and then he repeats again Rifa'enu. Then what you do is you lose out on the separate bracha, you lose an amen, and instead you have no choice but to insert anenu in within shma kalenu, similar to what yachid does. Then v'im anenu b'soch shemircha shemay tefila v'chayseim shemay tefila k'mo yachid v'im shechachay gam sham. Let's say the shaliach tzibur really messed up. Strike two. He forgot to make a separate bracha, and he forgot to insert it within Shema Koleinu. Vim shechach gam sham oimo li achar sima tfila b'loy chasima. So then he should say it. Believe it or not, he should say it. The shliach tzibur should say it after he finished Hamavoneches and Mo Yisrael Bashalom, and then he should say Aneinu Hashem Aneinu b'yom tzom tanitzenu, but does not conclude with the conclusion Baruch Atah Hashem Ha'ine b'yisaro. You don't conclude. You just, but he should say it, representing the tzibur. That's a fascinating halacha. Let's only hear what it says. He dialed on the bottom about the 10 people that are misanim on the bottom. V'yesh bebeis haknes asur shemisanim mashlimim ayim beri Yosef v'shals v'shari tshuva d'zed afka b'tanis tzibur shekiblu alei matzibur l'sanis avodal tzaymos the b'divrei kabbalah ninu afilu ein sham ela shisha shemisanim v'yashar eina misanim achma shem chalushim v'anusim mehem yicholim l'kvoya birchas anenu. Very important halacha. Have on the Dalit Somos, which is Tisha B'Av, Shavuos B'Tammuz, Aser B'Teves, and some Gedalia. If you have only 6 people that are fasting, the Shliach Tzibur can say Aneinu. You do not need there to be 10. Why? Because this is Takonas Chazal. This is Takonas Chazal. When it says here in the Kitz of Shulchan Aruch, this Chumri, it seems that the Kitz of Shulchan Aruch doesn't differentiate. He disagrees with this. But he's bringing down that other place can disagree. That's only when there's an Ace Tzara, Rachmana Litzlan, every so often, and they do this in years, every so often they do this, there's an Ace Tzara, and they are Goyzer, a Tainis Sibur, and even like Bahab, sometimes, not Bahab, Bahab, sometimes they'll do it on a Bahab a day, anyway, when you're saying Slichos, or sometimes they'll do this Erev Rosh Chodesh, they'll do it on Yom Kippur Katan. If there are 10 people that will, let's say you have 6 people that will makabel upon themselves, they're going to fast, and the day before by Mincha, within the Shemona Esrei, they said the Yiratzon in Shema Koleinu that they're going to fast tomorrow, then you cannot say Aneinu in the Chazor Sashatz, because you need 10. You must have 10. It's not enough. But on the tiniest Sibur, the fact that Klal Yisrael is fasting, that's already good enough that if 6 of you here are fasting and 4 are not, you can already say Aneinu in the Chazor Sashatz. Yes?
Sounds like a klutz kasha.
Nothing is a klutz kasha. Don't ever
you
say
know
that.
You have 6 that are fasting.
You ask them. Yes. Yes. And not just asking. Not asking. You have to. You have to make sure they're planning to conclude the fast. If you have a suffix, you have to clarify that before you begin.
Exactly. The smaller the minion, the more it's the problem. The larger the minion, the less
is the problem. Right, right.
So you know you might embarrass somebody who's not fasting.
What?
You might be embarrassing somebody who's not fasting.
Well,
no, you asked.
Okay, you got a problem. Hear what you're saying. You got a problem. You have a very, very good shot. I don't know what the answer is. You go to a minyan where there are exactly 10 people, and you know that, let's say, you know for sure that 4 are not fasting, and there's one guy you're not sure about. You're not sure about his status. So, and you know that he's very sensitive, super, super sensitive. And if you go and you ask him the question, you'll be very insulted. You got a big problem. I don't know what the answer is. So what do you do? On the one hand, to say Aneinu might be not the right thing because you only have 5 people. But on the other hand, if you ask him, you'll insult him. What ask Kadima? To insult him? to ask Kaplari will also be an insult. You gotta go with your gut. You gotta know what to do in this situation. It's a tough shaila. This is a really good shaila, and you probably can't generalize. It's not a shaila you can put in a sefer. What do you do? Because every situation is different. You're dealing with a person's sensitivities, his nerves. Someone yesterday told me something very fascinating doing sensitivity. A person, Rachman Litzlan, is not well. He had a very severe illness where one of his right arm is very, very weak. It's extremely weak. So there's a very big, so he is a righty. So he puts on his tefillin on his left arm. It's a very interesting shala for a rav to his. You have a tefillin. He's a righty. He puts on tefillin on his right arm. On his left arm. His left arm. So he's a righty. So you put your tefillin on your weaker hand. He's not well, and his right arm is now much, much weaker than his left arm. So he now basically turns into a halachic lefty. It's a very complicated shaila. The Mishnah Berurah is very clear. A person is not well and his right arm becomes weak. He turns into a lefty, iter yad, and he has to change. Mishnah Berurah is clear as day what to do. However, many other places can disagree. Rav Moshe appears to disagree, and a whole long list. Okay, so it's a shaila what to do. Let's assume we're going to work with the shita of the Mishnah Berurah. Let's follow that mahalach and halacha, that now you become a lefty because your right hand is very weak. So they want to tell the person, you know, you're putting tefillin on the wrong hand, you're not your yotze tefillin. But if you're going to tell the person that you're putting your tefillin on the wrong hand, you're putting it on your left, and now you have to put it on your right because you're very sick, and it doesn't appear that your hand is going to be getting better for a very long time, if ever, we are afraid he'll become extremely depressed.
Yeah, he will have to tell you his.
Because he's already very delicate due to his matzav, and now adding what's the nusach, add
insult
to injury, add insult, you know, you're putting tool on the wrong hand. And that will just trigger in his mind.
Yeah.
The reality that his right hand is not going to be getting better for a long time. What do you do? On the one hand, Shaili's making a bracha levatol every single day. On the other hand, you don't want to be the cause of him sinking into a deeper depression. Very tough Shaila. They asked the shaila to very big rabbis, and I think that, and they're going with the psak. Don't tell him.
Right.
So you don't know what's good for you. Let him do whatever he was doing. Let him ask the question, but don't. If he doesn't know, don't. None of your business. Just don't insult him. Ad kedei kach. That was the consensus. Just let him do what he's doing, no matter how long it takes. This is what he's doing. He's doing. Let him keep it on that hand. And even though the brach is a shalav brach levatol, yeah.
If it's machlekes, how do you know which one is the right? Maybe.
As I told, let's assume we're going with this approach. Yeah, because you'll tell me that you have yesh halav yesh. I mean, listen, the other sheet is which hold that you should continue putting tefillin on the hand that you were born, the weaker hand that you were born with. We don't follow what happened later in life. There are different approaches to this. And let's assume. Let's put that aside. Let us assume we're going to follow 100% that the halacha follows the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah and all those that follow in that line of thought, that if a person becomes ill and he loses power in his right hand, he turns into a halachic lefty. And therefore he is now required, mikanul habot, to switch tefillin from the right to from the left hand to the right hand. Now we have to take it into the equation, the problem that if you tell this to the person who's already very fragile in his mind, in his matzav, he will sink into, there's a possibility, knowing what the situation is, knowing from the caretakers, that he will sink into a greater degree of depression if you tell him this information. What do you do? And the answer is, the Rabbanim doesn't say the same way in Shulchan Aruch what to do. Doesn't say. And you can't generalize because every single person is different. They pass him, just don't tell him. None of your business. Mind your own business. Mind your own business. Let him keep on putting on tune the way he wants for them in the meantime. What?
He's making a
bracha. Well, obviously, he's making a bracha. He's a very religious person. He's a very. Eventually he will be curious enough to ask the question. Alright, but that's all. Okay, these are type of questions you're dealing over here. Your question, you're going to embarrass the person. Okay, you're going to embarrass. Hey, you're going to cause them to become depressed. So these are very difficult questions, which I don't know the answer to. I don't think anyone really has. You know, this is a case by case. Halacha is a very. There are many shas in halacha that are not clear. You have to. Every case is different. What? Someone who's very insulting, someone who doesn't have any sense of... Yeah, their dharma doesn't like that. Yeah, their dharma doesn't have people like that who have no sensitivity and they'll just stab you in the back, all in the name of Hashem, all in the name of Halacha. Yeah, dharma doesn't. But we're talking about a person who at least has a sensitivity to come to the Rav and say, I have this shayla, I want to be sensitive. That's a beautiful thing that a person has a sensitivity. It's much more often than not that people will just stab you in the back. Oh yeah, the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is what he wants. You know what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. Okay, let's go further. Let's do one more halacha and we'll stop. Halacha tes. Ein oimrim tefilas shmon eshe bekoil elim ken yesh lo chalapacha shisha nash. This we discussed yesterday very briefly. You're not allowed to say shisha. You're not allowed to say the chazor sashatz. I mentioned this in passing yesterday. You're not allowed to say shmon eshe. You're not allowed to chazor sashatz. Elim ken yesh lo chalapacha shisha nashim shemrev minyan shespaluata that are davening right now. So you're like four people that are goylim. Just stand here so that we can dive in, and we can dive in our Shemoneh Esrei with a minyan, and then we can do Chazar Sashatz. We mentioned yesterday, they must answer Amen. They can't sit and learn when you're doing the Chazar Sashatz. You need 10 people to answer, and be Baruch Levatol. Avlam Ein Shem Shishan Nashim Spaluato. Ein Oimim Kol HaShemoneh Esrei B'Kol, then you're not allowed, then you cannot do Chazar Sashatz. Chazal did not allow you to do a Chazar Sashatz, to do Kedusha, and a whole repetition. If you only have five people davening, you have to have Roiv Minyan. So what do you do then? In that situation, you do a hecha kedusha. One person begins his private shemona esrei. Ela echad oimer ado kela kadosh bekol. The other kedusha the goimer tfilase belachash, and then you finish the shemona esrei. So if you want to get in kedusha, so the one person begins. He says the first three brachos out loud. And then he does the Kedusha. He says the Kedusha ad hokela kadosh b'kol v'orim Kedusha. I assume he means that you say Kedusha before you say hokela kadosh. That's what I'm assuming he means. Don't do it afterwards. Ad hokela kadosh b'kol v'orim Kedusha. You say Kedusha within the third bracha, and then the goymer tefilas b'lachash, but you lose out on tefila b'tzibur. There is an inyan that when you are davening, you should be davening together with 10 people. If only 5 people are davening for the first time, there's no way you can fulfill this inyan of tefila b'tzibur. Okay, we'll stop over here, take a break.